everyone. Welcome back to Wellspring Words, the podcast. Thank you for joining. This is your host, Kem, as always, and I am with another guest today, very excitingly, with a spontaneous guest. Actually, presently, I'm sitting in Merida, Mexico, and I'm with Miguel, who's going to introduce himself, and we're going to get all into the story about how we met and what we're going to talk about today. But Miguel, please introduce yourself first.
Hello, everyone. I'm Miguel Angel, and we are here in this beautiful city of Mérida, warm city full of trees, cenotes, which are holes with water. And today we're going to get deep, deep into our thoughts, deep into the spirituality. We're going to talk and we're just going to improvise, but I'm pretty sure we're going to take some points that probably you have think about, or if you not now, you're going to start thinking about it.
I just love how Miguel has like taken over the podcast, like with his radio voice. Like you could just tell this guy has the voice for radio. But before we get into all of that, I want to know who you are. Like, how would you want people to understand who you are in, I guess you could say, this world? Who are you in this world? I know that's a really big question, and we're going to get into all of that really big, deep, kind of esoteric stuff. But if you were to identify yourself, how would you do that?
Okay, well, that's a great question. I will identify myself as a star seed. That's how I feel. But as a human being in this incarnation, I've been just someone that is looking for answers, that is never satisfied, you know, that has experienced a little bit of fame in this world, in a TV show, that has experienced some success and some defeats. But at the end, everything that has ever fulfilled me doesn't come from the outside, the external world. It always comes from inside. It doesn't matter how much everything, whatever you can call it, I have always, when I feel the better, is when I'm peaceful, when I'm full of joy. And that's exactly what I'm looking for every single day. So that's what I will be, a person that is looking for light.
I love it. I love this because this is how I would want to like identify and introduce myself too. Like, I wish I could walk around introducing myself like a starseed. And if you don't know what a starseed is, I encourage you to look it up so that way you can familiarize yourself. We'll go into it. But let's just bring it down for a sec, like a few notches down. How did we meet? What's the story behind this connection here? So I came to Mérida because I left, like, I think if you guys were listening to season one of Wellspring Words, the podcast, I was talking a lot in different episodes about me transitioning. Like for a long time, I was talking about me transitioning out of Abu Dhabi, out of the UAE. But where was I going to go? Actually, I didn't really know for a long time, but I decided sort of last minute, okay, I'm going to go to Mexico because there's a pandemic going on. Mexico seemed like a really good place to go for a lot of the things that I wanted in my life at the time. I needed tropical vibes. I needed like beach. I needed warmth in terms of obviously like the climate, but in the people specifically, in the community specifically, and obviously a place that was going to accept travelers. So came to Mérida because I have a friend who lives here and she was telling me, and I was like, okay, fine, let's go. And I was looking on Airbnb for some experiences to do, and I saw this cenotes tour that had like a million amazing reviews, and I was like, okay, well, I mean, the choice is easy when you have all those great reviews, right? And it was Miguel's tour. He's the one who's hosting it, and yeah, we just went on the tour the other day, yesterday specifically, but by the time you listen to this, I don't even know when I'm going to post this, but by the time you listen to it, it would have been a while ago. Yeah, we just really connected. Like I mentioned that I had a podcast and then we started talking about that. And on the drive back to the city from the cenotes tour, we did our little like trial, you can say, in the car on the way back. I kind of feel bad for the people who were listening because it was you and I in the front seat and everyone else just had to listen. And the whole time I'm thinking like, do they even care about what we're talking about? But you didn't care. And I was like, look, if you don't care, I don't care. We're in this together, you know? So yeah, that's kind of like the nuts and bolts story of how we met. And it's so cool because I feel like there's major alignment in my life specifically when it comes to this, because I've just been going through this huge spiritual awakening. I think a lot of people have, but in my experience, the past like 6-8 months, been going through a really big spiritual awakening and really trying to focus my mind on being around people who think the same way that I do, who talk about the same things that I talk about. So when you mentioned starseed, I'm like, that's not just like, okay, have you done your meditation? What are your affirmations? That's not just like, let's think positively. That's the deep, deep, deep stuff. So can you explain to us, I know I told people to go and check out what starseed means, but when you say that you want to introduce yourself or identify as a starseed, what does that mean to you specifically?
Well, okay, for me, the starseed, and I think like probably if you're listening to this and you're also in the search for these answers, you could also probably be a starseed. You also can, you identify yourself as a starseed. And there's many of us. So for myself, a starseed is someone that comes, like, the soul of the person comes from another planet. And we come here not only to experience this life, this 3D, we also come here to help this planet in its process of reaching another higher dimension. So we basically forget where we come from, and we are trying to remember. That's why we feel inside ourselves that this world, it kind of doesn't make sense, because we have experienced other realities that are higher dimensional, that are more perfect, that have more love, that the science, that everything is not about consumism, it's not about materialism. This 3D, it's too dense, too thick. And we remember deeply in ourselves that we have a purpose, that we can make something in order for this planet to get into a better life. So what is it that you think about the purpose of the human race? Like, what happens for some people that are listening right now? Like, if they are like, what if I'm not a starseed? Because could be some people that we believe that we're starseeds, and probably we are or we are not. Like, we are not 100% sure about it. What will be our purpose here in this planet Earth? Like, what are your thoughts about it?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, to straight up, that question, it causes a little bit anxiety in me, because it's like, how the fuck am I supposed to know? I'm still here thinking about, like, am I on the right path for my own purpose, right? But I'm going to think about it while I just, like, break down some of the things that you said. Part of my brain is going to think about that question, and the other part is going to break down for those who are listening. Because before this episode, like, I've not talked about esoteric things like that. I've touched on them, right? And I've talked about chakra system, and I've talked about different types of parts of spirituality, right, in different parts of the world, right? Different eras, but not something like starseeds. That's only been me in my little YouTube university and my journals and stuff like that. So when you say 3D, like 3D reality, for those who don't know where that's coming from, that's referencing like the three-dimensional reality, the physical plane that we're living in right now. And if you might start to see, if you're like, if you follow these kind of this kind of content on social media, people mentioning the fifth dimension or 5D reality or talking about the cosmos a lot, then you would understand that there is a frequency that's much higher than ours. And so all this talk about raising your vibrations and raising your frequency is not just so we can manifest the best things in life, as in the biggest house, best car, like really nice vacations and all this. That's great. That's wonderful. But really, we're talking about working towards a unity consciousness or a love consciousness, right? And that would be like the universal energy, the energy of the universe, I should say, rather than universal energy, because it can be confusing when you say universal energy, like energy for all. No, like the energy of the universe is like a love energy completely. I've also been on this path of working from living from a place of fear to living from a place of love. And that is actually, Miguel, because you don't know, that's like the intro episode for the first episode of, sorry, for the first season, the intro episode, I was talking about this is my journey that I'm on. And so in the first episode of the second season, I talked about where I'm at basically for the past 6 months. What have I been doing to kind of work through the fear that I was feeling in all different aspects of my life and live from a place of love. What does it mean to live from a place of love, right? Like, what does love even mean? Because if you're operating at a purely human standpoint, we think love is this, like, the love that you feel for your family, the love that you feel for your lover, the love that you feel for your friends, these kind of things. But it's, like, way more than that. It's way deeper than that. It's way more all-encompassing than that. So this is what we're talking about when we're moving from 3D consciousness is human density. When you talk about density, it's like when something is dense, it's thick, it's opaque, it's like you can feel it, you can't see through it. And that's what we have in our human bodies. Okay, so the question, what is the purpose of humans on Earth? I think the purpose is evolution. And I think that the purpose of all of us is evolution, because I think the purpose of myself is evolution. And I'm not any different than any other person. Like, I'm just one little, you know, puzzle piece, part of the whole puzzle. If I think about myself as a starseed or someone who's come to this earth specifically to do something to help raise the consciousness of the world, and my purpose is evolution, then that means that the purpose of the world is evolution.
I totally agree with it. And we will now have to ask ourselves, what's evolution? You know, like, where are we going to with all of these of 3, 4D, 5D that we are reading now, then you can read it. It's almost everywhere now. So what's our purpose about, what is this evolution all about? And it's exactly what you were saying, like, it's going from fear to love. And we, at least myself, I've been in both, and I still experience both, you know, and it's so easy to get into the fear. And when you are in fear, it's like life. Let's say that you are in a pool, okay? And you don't know how to swim. And that will be life. When people get drowned, when people, like, literally die because they don't know how to swim, they don't die because they are not doing anything. They die kicking, trying to grab from the water. They get tired, and at the end, they swallow water. And I always, because as we mentioned, we met ourselves in a tour, and I always observe the people, how they swim. And sometimes that could be a reflection of ourselves in life, or that's a good metaphor or an analogy. Because in life, when you are in this part of evolution, and when you, from my perspective, when you start to feel and to be more love, not only the romanticism of love, not only with your partner. No, we are talking about a vibration. We are talking about gratitude. We are talking about peace. So when you are starting to align yourself with all of these emotions of light and love, you stop kicking in the water. You just grab some air and you just float and rest in the abundance of life. So today, I was just in one of these cenotes. If you don't know what a cenote is, please just Google cenote and you will see that it's something really beautiful and magical. So it's like, let's say, something as magical as a waterfall, okay? So I was in this place and there was water like leaking from the roof because there's been rainings, and these rocks, they filter the water. And I was like looking at this water coming down, and I put my hand like just below the leaking of the water. And then I was like, okay, so I'm in this stage right now. Me personally, I'm in this stage right now. I am trying to grab water from the drops, and all the water comes and gets in my hand, and it's hard for me to grab it with my hands. That's for me abundance. I'm trying to collect that water. There's some people that they put their hands in some positions and both hands that they can actually collect some water. But we forget that underneath there was the water of the cenote, crystal clear, abundant, infinite. I could just put my hand and grab as much water as I can. And that's for me what happens in life when we are in fear. We are trying to grab out of nothing because that's an illusion. Fear is an illusion. And sometimes we are afraid to take decisions that will eventually make our life more peaceful, more graceful. So evolution, from my perspective, in the human race, in general, if we take a look at how we are living right now, imagine this human race getting from fearful human race, as we are right now as a human race, to a loving human race? How many things will change? How will the education change? We will not produce only humans to be profitable, let's say, or productive. We will produce human beings that will serve, that will do the things that they love, that will be happy, use their gifts. We will measure a country, if we still have countries, because if we love ourselves so much, then we will drop away all the divisions. We will get united because love unifies and fear divides. Now, it's always easy to chat and talk about this and to read it and to put it in practice. That's the hard thing. So what is it that you will do to practice love? Like, it's family thing, it's with yourself, it's with your thoughts, it's even what you eat. It's everywhere. So if you have a fight with someone, with a relative, like right now, me, myself, I'm having something like that with my sister, it's not easy to forgive. That's why forgiveness is such a powerful tool, you know? And you use, and we use those tools in order to approach to our loving self. So what tools have you found in these months, this time, these years of awakening? What have been your tools, Kim?
Oh, gosh, such a good question. And before I get to it, because I'm definitely going to answer it, but honestly, I've been having a really tough day because I was having a conversation with my mom earlier today. And like every time that I talk to her or talk to somebody, it's always a deep conversation because I found that I have difficulty having surface level conversations. Like, yeah, sure, I can ask you about like who you are, what you're doing, blah, blah, blah. But it's only a mechanism for me to get to a deeper conversation. But my mom is a Christian and she has this way of like putting her Christian beliefs like in almost everything. And so she made a comment to me and I really tried to just like breathe through it in my mind, because you know, can you imagine be like in her face and she's like, what are you doing? But I just tried to breathe through it in my mind and say like, don't take it personally, it's her own belief, it's her own thing. But I couldn't at some point. It was just so tough for me. And I realized later on, because I was shaken by it, like it wasn't even that big of a deal, to be honest. Like if I really look back at the words that she said in the whole conversation, it wasn't a big deal. But it really threw me for a loop. I'm a very, very hugely sensitive person and very, very emotional, which can be seen as a bad thing by the world, but it's actually my power, because if I'm not sensitive, then I won't be able to do the work that I do, that I won't be able to like guide myself and people the way that, and see people and intuit and be intuitive. There's no way that I can do that if I wasn't sensitive to the way that people like are. And to see people the way they are and to see situations for the truth that it is. But with that, you have to like have boundaries around it, right? You can't just be like sensitive for every little thing that happens. And so when you're talking about the tools of enlightenment, for me, it's like I have to transmute whatever I'm feeling in that moment into a lesson for myself. What's the lesson that I'm learning from this? And for me and my relationship with my mom, or like those kind of conversations that always come up, it always brings guilt and shame. Because it's like when you're with family, you know, and for me, because I don't live with family and I'm always away and I moved out of the house when I was 18. So it's been like a long time being away from family. Whenever I come back, it's like I'm a kid again. Like everything goes back to it regresses basically. And it's always a moment for me to say, okay, this is not who I am. You can't just go back talking to myself. I can't just go back to that person because they expect me to be that. I have to be who I am in every other moment. And so when these feelings of guilt and shame were coming up, it's like, before I had breakfast with her, before we had that conversation, I had like this beautiful yoga flow. I was like really feeling it. I was feeling so good. I did this writing practice and then all of that went away. Like this, it's like I couldn't even appreciate the sunshine outside. I was sitting in my bed crying, like I felt tears in my throat. And I said, what is this? Like, is this life, you know? And so I decided to write about it. I was writing about guilt. I can't write, like, here's the thing. I'm not gonna write about my mom. It's not about her. She's just reflecting to me something that I need to assess, investigate, and lighten up within myself. So there is like this dark corner, this shadow within me. And that is the fear, the guilt, the shame, all of those lower vibrations that exist within our world that have been permeating our consciousness and our existence, and that are the foundation of my freaking earthly life. Because especially as a Black woman, that is the foundation of my life. Fear, guilt, shame, like low self-worth, all those types of things. So it takes a lot of effort to move past that. And so when I say I'm transmuting that energy, it's like I go into the realm, the inner realm. And for me, my method is right. writing. That's, people have their stuff. Could also be dancing and writing music and singing and stuff like that. But writing gets to the core of it because I have the vocabulary for it. So I go in and I start writing what I'm feeling and everything that's occurring inside and outside and like reminiscing on the thoughts and everything. And then I think about, what is this trying to show me? What is this trying to tell me? And then I can go and see like the lesson from it and transmute that energy into something else and remember who the fuck I am. I'm like, can I cuss? It's my podcast. So that's really my methodology for it. And that's like kind of a practical, sort of practical. I didn't want to give too much information because I guess I still have to respect, if my mom ever listens to this, I don't want her to feel like she's a bad person and then start guilting me once again. Like, oh, but yeah, a little bit more practical. Same question to you, but also, when did your whole spiritual enlightenment evolution start? Did you always feel different, or is it something that you started? And how old are you, by the way?
Yeah, well, I'm 30 years old, and I have always felt that I don't fit in this reality. You know, I have always felt that I'm different. The things that people enjoy since I was a kid, I didn't. So I thought that I was wrong. I thought that I was weird, you know. So I did my best in order to fit into this reality. And I put myself a big mask. Like, I ended up being a person that I didn't like. I still have some of it, I'm pretty sure. But I ended up being this guy that, you know, play sports and that it's, you know, these macho men and stuff like that. And then suddenly I realized that I was empty, that I forgot about my inner kid. And that kid, this is something that happened at least to me. That kid was so graceful, joyful. He enjoyed everything. And I remember exactly the moment that I started comparing my life with other people's lives. Like, oh, everyone is out there partying and I'm here playing with my toys. Like, I started feeling like, kind of, what am I doing wrong? Like, I'm never gonna be like them. Like, if I could just tell something to that kid, like, we'll be, dude, forget about everyone else. You keep enjoying your toys. You keep enjoying painting or writing or doing whatever you feel like. That's something that happens to all of us. We start comparing our lives. And then we think that we need to be like more people or other people. So everything answering your question started when I was in university and I created this kind of character, I will say. And then I tried everything that society tells you that will fulfill you. So I tried being a woman and I felt more empty. I tried, you know, partying and drinking. And I felt more empty. So I tried all of those stuff. And at the end, they didn't fulfill me. So I was like, okay, what is this about? You know, like, what's this life about? If this doesn't fulfill me, then what will? If I continue doing this at a greater scale, I'm not gonna be more happy. I will end up with more emptiness. So I started looking for answers. The thing was that when I found all of this knowledge, or not all of it, because I haven't found all of it, but when I started digging into it, I had, like, from one day to the other, kind of a massive wake-up thing. And I didn't know at that time that there were many people into it, that there's been happening since forever, because this is not something new, guys. This is not something that we are creating. No. This has been, this energy and this knowledge has been here forever. Since the creation of the human race. The problem is that we have forgotten. And as we forgot about it and we get deep into the fear, we created this reality that it's really messed up. So I thought that I was special, and that's a problem. That's an ego belief. I thought that I was kind of touched, or that I was gonna be the savior of the world, something Jesus. Like Jesus, you know? And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna be walking in water, you know? Like, now, what I think about walking in water and turning water into wine and doing those kind of miracles, by the way, all the life, even breathing is a miracle. I think that for me, they don't matter at all. Like, if they have not a purpose of helping, then that miracle, it's pointless. Like, okay, you can walk on water, and then what? You know? So that's when we get to the point, and we were just saying about Jesus, you know, I thought that I was gonna be the next Jesus. So I just was talking to this woman today, which is a Mayan village woman. Her name is Nancy, and she's a beautiful woman. So you were mentioning about your mother that she's Christian, and this woman is also Christian. Me personally, I have never put myself into a specific religion. You know, like I just read something about Christianity, read something about Muslim, read something about the Bhagavad Gita, and I can read and I can learn from anything, you know? But I was talking to this woman, which, by the way, probably is way higher, not in consciousness, but in love, than I am personally. But we were just chatting about these things, and she was like, what do you believe in and stuff? And what about Jesus? And we were talking about it. And when I told her, and this is very important, we were like kind of like, well, I think this, and she agreed and stuff. But when I told her that Jesus said, well, the things that I'm doing, you can do them, and way more. So I told her, okay, so the Bible, the book that you read, because she told me the Bible is the only book that you need to read. And I was like, okay, Nancy, for me, it's not. I read other books, and you have more love than I have. And you are like more of a loving person. I need to feel more love. But I don't agree that you need to only read one book and you have the truth. There's been wars because of that, yes. Nancy. So I just told her, what about the Bible? The same book that you read says, we, the human race, we've been done, and I'm trying to translate this because I only have read it in Spanish, but we've been done in the same image as God. So Jesus said, like, Jesus didn't come here saying, I'm the only one, guys. You need to follow me because I'm the only one that can do this, and I'm going to be the last one, guys. I'm going to be gone, and then, you know, you're by yourselves, guys. He didn't. This amazing master, because for me, he's a master. There's been many masters, not only Jesus, but there's Saint Germain, there's Zoroastro, there's Siddhartha, Gautama, Buddha, and there's many others that have reached that level of consciousness, and then the illumination, Babaji, which many others that we will never hear of them, but they've been doing a lot of service to this human race without saying, I am the one that is doing the service and helping you guys, because that's egocentric. But the thing is that when I told Nancy, okay, Nancy, what about that thing that is in your same book that you are saying? Like, her face changed and she saw me like, oh my gosh, blasphemy. And I was like, okay, I first time ever in my life that I see how religion works. So they give you some tools and they talk you about the truth, but not all the truth. And I don't know all the truth. But what I know is that we can achieve perfection. Maybe not in this life. It's not a one lifetime thing. We've been coming here like many lifetimes. And we make mistakes and we create karma and then we reincarnate here to, you know, transmute all that karma and trying to get into more and more perfection. She didn't believe that we could achieve perfection. She told me, no, Jesus was the only one. Jesus was the only Son of God. And we all are like kind of in a lower level, let's say, something like that. So I was like, okay, that's how religion works. They will have you all your life just praying to this external God, probably. And yes, you can forgive. Yes, you will be praying. So I told her, okay, this is why I don't follow a religion, Nancy, exactly because of that. And I will tell you something else. I read other books, Nancy. And in these books that I read, for example, they talk about other stuff that the Bible doesn't tell you, which are the power of the word. When you say something, and I don't know the word in English, but when you say, I am, let's say, peace, there's two ways of asking for peace for the universe. One is asking, and by asking, you are expressing lackness of it. And the other one is claiming, exactly, that's the word, claiming. So I am peace, even if you don't feel at peace. You focus on peace and you say, I am peace. And you can focus on that, I am peace, for as long as you want. And probably you won't be peace that day and probably not in a week. But if you keep focusing, eventually you will feel peace. Because you are manifesting those words, thoughts, you know, and you have to believe in it. So I told that Nancy, and I told her, okay, what about God when Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life? You can follow the same steps as Jesus. Is Jesus was saying claims. So why don't you also use the claims? Why don't we also use the claims? Why does the Bible and the church, the Christian church, doesn't explain us about the claims? That's powerful. So that's another tool that we can use. At the end, that's something that can create religion, you know? It can be helpful, but if we want to take the next step, then religion, we have so many, and all of them claim to be the truth, that we cannot only say, that something is the truth. The truth can be said by a river, by the rain. You can find the truth, as you were saying, you know? When you speak to your mother, you didn't say, like, she's the one that is guilty. No, you experienced and you found the truth in that experience.
Right. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Mind is expanding right now. But I feel really good about it, because this is the nourishment that my spirit needed over these past couple of days. It's like specific type of conversation. And I think that, as you said, finding the truth in the experience with other people, I can have this experience like this. I can have these conversations with myself in my head. But it's something else when someone else is saying it to you, because then you realize you're not alone. You realize in this world that really feels like if you don't conform, you die. And I've heard that from somebody. I went on a date with somebody several months ago, and their mindset was, if you don't conform, you die. And I was like, this is not a date anymore. This is just a conversation, because this is not going anywhere. I can't be in relationship with somebody who feels that way, because I don't feel that way. What are we conforming to? What is that? Anyway, separate thought. When I had that spat with my mom earlier, I told her, like, if you're trying to transmit a message to me, you have to speak my language. It's like you come to Mexico and you're speaking to Mexicans in English and speaking more in English when they don't understand what you're saying. You have to speak their language. You're not in your country, you're in their country. You don't come and try to tell me a message in your language. I speak a different language than you. So try to understand my language is what I was telling her. It didn't go well from there, and then we just kind of departed. Like, we left it at that. But I feel like you're speaking, all of that to say, I feel like you're speaking my language, which is why I feel this sense of resonance, and it feels really important. So in all of what you mentioned, you talked about in your past not feeling fulfilled after, you know, trying to conform to the ways of the world and kind of alluding to things that mattered to you versus things that didn't matter to you. And so I wanted to know now, right now in your life, what matters to you and what makes you feel fulfilled?
Okay, that's also another deep question. And obviously we are going deeper, diving deep, free diving here, guys. We're doing free diving, and I hope you have lung capacity, my friends. So, okay, what matters to me right now, it's obviously like reaching to that point of love. Like, and it depends when you ask me this, because now some days I'm focused on growing my business. Some days I'm focused on growing my life. Some days I'm just done with this life and I want to run into the mountains, you know? So what matters the most for me, it's trying to reach that enlightenment. Sometimes I feel like no one understands me. Like when I tell them, okay, what about, for example, going to the mountains? Like, I've done it. And it's hard to explain the peace that you find there. It's hard to explain the connection that you find when you are with yourself, no one else, and you are just praying and meditating. But then I feel like, okay, is that my path? Isn't it an egocentric path? What about my family? You know, which also cares. So it answers also your question. Well, I care about my family, you know. But then what about the attachments? Is my family an attachment? Is my family something that is not letting me follow my path? Okay, but what about the business? Is the business something that will help me and my family as it is helping? Or is the business an attachment? And now it's not letting me move. And I have a tattoo in myself that say, the things that you own end up owning you. And birds born in cage think it's an illness to fly. So what's happening to me? Am I a bird that is afraid to fly? Do I have these attachments that I care the most, answering your question? And now because of caring of that, they are not letting me move into my other realm or reality that I need to do. And then fear and love. Like, I really want to be in the mountains just meditating by myself. I don't know the rest of my life, but at least some months, years, I don't know. Then there's a fear of leaving everything, you know? So it's love and fear. I want to be a musician. I'm a musician, but also following that path, where will it take me, you know? Yeah. So it's every single day, this fight in myself, this Star Wars fight between the light and the darkness. How do I react with people, with my family? Today, it wasn't like I haven't been super lover to my mother. For example, you know, I could be more of a loving person with my mother, with my little sister, with my sisters, with myself. That's a reflection. I'm not loving myself enough. And then everything, it's always a battle with our inner self. Like, it's the light trying to come out, to blow and to be, you know? And we are always putting these filters to that light with our fears. So for me, it's trying to remove those filters. But I feel right now that I'm starting to kind of, I don't want to get into that comfort zone. I'm starting to be in a comfort zone. And I don't want to get into that comfort zone, because that guy that was telling you, if you're not in your comfort zone, you die. I feel exactly the opposite. If you get into that comfort zone, you will die.
You
will think that you are thriving, but your inner self, you will stop listening to that inner self. So eventually, you will die, you know? What about you? What is the thing that you care the most?
I'm going to answer that, but I just want to kind of comment on what you were saying, because it really feels like you're just talking straight from my heart. Like, the battle between the light and the dark, and assessing all the different avenues that you can take because of your interests, your passions, your skills, you know, what you're naturally drawn to, and what the world deems viable and valid. I mean, that's my whole, like, journey right now, having, like, completely just left my job, very cushy job, very comfortable, very luxurious. I had everything. I could not want for a single thing when I was living in Abu Dhabi. And I was like, I really was led. If I even just tell you the story about all the synchronicities that were happening to me the day that I decided I need to quit this job right now, it was crazy. Like, I was like, oh my God, what's happening? Like, is this life? It was crazy. It was really crazy. But I knew that that was a sign that I need to make that decision. It's the right decision. And then leaving and coming here, I feel so much better. Like, I even look better, you know? Not to say that I look more beautiful. Okay, yes, I look more beautiful, but that's because I feel internally better. It was the right decision for me. So yeah, like, I totally get it. All of those difficulties. And I think from the astrological standpoint, for myself, I have a Leo sun, moon, Mercury, Chiron, a lot of Leo in my chart. So, like, very bold, very fiery, very light, like a lot of light, a lot of optimism, a lot of brightness. But then my ascendant sign is Pisces, which now is making its way in my life. At 27, I think it makes sense, you know, 27, 28 for it to start to show up. Like, what does that mean for a Pisces ascendant? Is someone who is like extremely deep, extremely emotional, extremely sensitive, has that capacity to help and heal other people. And I've always wondered, like, when I'm traveling, when I'm out somewhere and people come to me randomly, ask me questions about where to go, what to do, can I help them with this? Random, like, I'd just be standing on the corner of somewhere looking for directions myself, and someone's asking me something. And now I know it's because it's that energy they're attracted to. They feel like I can help them. They feel comforted by me, which is great. But then it also goes back to, do I always have the capacity as a human being? Like, as a soul, yes, that's my purpose. I know that. It's my purpose to help humankind in some way, help us elevate ourselves. But, like, as a human being, do I always have that capacity with the emotions that we face, all of the traumas that we go through? And as a highly emotional person, highly sensitive person, can I always take that? So, like, the tools that you were talking about earlier, how am I using those tools to help myself so that way I can help other people? Like, filling my cup so that way people can drink from the overflow of my cup being full, you know, like overflowing with love, overflowing with care and all these kinds of things. So yeah, that fight between the light and dark, like fight between the Leo and the Pisces, is very, they're fighting all the time. That's like the light versus the dark, exactly like that, you know? So every day it's like that. And I'm now just coming to be more compassionate with myself and say, this is who you are, Kem. This is what you've been facing. All those times when you feel like people don't understand you, when you feel like you don't understand you, when you're like, what even is life? What am I doing? Is this a game? Like, even earlier when you were talking and I was looking at you, it's almost as though I wasn't here, but I was just like watching you almost through a TV screen. I mean, it didn't look like a TV, but like, it didn't feel real. And I feel that so much in my life. And I just look at the trajectory of my life in the past up until now, and it's like, is this real? Is the whole thing real? So anyway, those were just like a lot of comments that just came to mind. But to answer your question about like what I care about right now, what fulfills me, it's conversations like this. It's like reminding ourselves of the fact that we are one, that we are the same people, that we are the same, not even people, because that's bringing us down a level. We are the same energy. So when I meet somebody and have a conflict with them, it's not really a conflict. It's just showing us both that there is something for us to investigate. I mean, that's my standpoint on it. And I know a political way of looking at it, because when I was working at the university, I worked at Abu Dhabi, everything was political. Everything is intellectualized. It's political. We don't take it really past the mind. We keep it there, which I think is it's really kind of like gateway into enlightenment, to use the intellect, but you have to transcend the intellect to get to enlightenment. Like, there's more past that, but it's a useful mechanism. So when we politicize it, there's a lot of shit happening in the world. People are suffering, and it's hard to come to terms with the idea that not everyone is going to make it. Like, not people will be used as lessons. Like, people will suffer and people will die, and their suffering and death will be used as a lesson to help other people grow and other people evolve. And I can think of like examples in my own life of that. And it's hurtful that those people are not here anymore. It's hurtful. Like, hurtful is not even the word. That's an understatement. That so many millions of people are suffering and have suffered and have just like lost their lives in so much of the destruction that is this 3D reality, this hyper-masculine reality that we're living in. But there is something to learn from it. There is something to gain from it. And I'm almost like choking on my words saying that, because it feels very controversial to say it. But we're in the same company here. We understand what we're talking about. And I think that anybody who resonates with this resonates with it. People who don't resonate with it don't resonate with it. And that's fine. And that's not to say that everyone should think this way. I think that's like kind of where I've come in the past couple of months with the egotistical thinking, like, I'm thinking this way, therefore I know the truth and I'm right and everyone should think the way that I'm thinking. And if you're not on the spiritual path like this, I don't even want to fuck with you. Like, you don't know what you're doing. You know, that kind of egotistical way. Because everyone has a different path. Everyone has a different purpose for being here. Everyone has a different skill. And I can see it even within my own family. Like, with my older sister, we're very close, but she is like a whole complete world different than me. Complete, like, are you feeling like the same thing in your life too?
Yeah, it happened to me the same, you know, with my sister. But yeah, exactly, you know, like, it's not about the truth. There are so many truths, you know? There are so many perspectives and there are so many ways. But I haven't been in this path, like, well, we are all basically in this path. Like, even if we don't realize, we are always in this path. Consciously, you can walk this path, or unconsciously. But we're walking, you know? Sometimes backwards, sometimes forwards. But we are always in this path, even if we don't realize it. So I've been consciously walking this path from probably 6 years now, you know. So it's not much, but I have focused myself in growth. And sometimes I remember when I started all of this, it was about the reading, it was about the talking, and it was small practice. So it's more and more less about the other things and more about the practice. It's more about how you treat others. It's always about how you treat yourself. It's always about what do you do, even for a living, because that means how much you care for yourself. The other day I met in one of my tours a porn star. She was happy with her job, and I'm not judging. The only thing was, like, I was like, okay, so this person, she is exchanging energy with a lot of people. I don't know if they are good people or they are messed up people. But she's exchanging this energy, and she's just doing that because of she probably likes it, and also because of this money and comfort that can give you. So if you love yourself, you eventually will end up doing things that you love. Writing, and you will be a writer. Painting or doing a business that you really care and love. So I don't know if this porn star loves herself, because our body is a temple. And by doing that with many people like that, probably is not a loving thing. So basically what you do with your body also, if you don't treat your body well, then that's practice then again. And now for me, the point in my life right now, it's about meditation. Everything in my life has taken me into meditation. So it's I don't even read right now, because whatever I read just talks me about, dude, okay, cool, meditate. Like, okay, yeah, this is cool. You have read it many times. Meditate. So now it's meditation. Why? Because meditation, it's a practice that it's keeping our minds, like controlling our mind. We don't have control of our minds. And as we don't control our minds control ourselves. Desires, thoughts, past, future, and we are lost. I'm not saying that I'm not. I'm in those thoughts every day, all time. But that's the practice that I'm right now, you know? And it's cool to read these books. It's cool to wake up. But we have to put in practice all of this. If not, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. So I don't know now what will this path of meditation will bring. I don't know where it might take us. But if I'm pretty sure that if all of us, the world in general, we put meditation in practice, imagine teaching the kids meditating, it will change a little bit. It will be a little bit better.
Yeah, these are powerful thoughts. It's interesting what you mentioned about the porn star that you met and her potentially not loving herself. I mean, to be honest, when you said that, I won't say I got triggered. I don't know if that's the appropriate word. Okay, maybe if we look at the definition of trigger, it is appropriate because it just means that something was turned on. Like, you know, like I was alerted to something because I have this, being a woman, like very objectified a lot in life. Whenever somebody mentions something about like sex workers or somebody who's embracing their sexuality, not loving themselves or not, then I'm just like, I just have to pay attention a little bit more, because who's to say that she doesn't love herself, right? It's based on perspective. That's the thing. I don't really have much to say on it, but it's just like, who's to say that she doesn't love herself if she's doing that? But what you say about meditation is it's making me think about other forms of meditation rather than only sitting meditation, because as someone who has just a fucking lot of energy. Like, I can't sit still. I don't know if you see me sitting here. Like, I'm like moving every 3 seconds. I cannot sit still. Sitting meditation is difficult, but I could still do it. But sometimes I find myself doing it to say that I did it rather than doing it and actually being in it. There's times when I do it and I'm in it, fine, no problem. But for me, the kind of meditation that is working is playing music, like playing guitar, dancing. Hands down, it's always going to be that meditative movement. And so I think accessing one's own spirituality needs to be accessible for people. It needs to feel like I can do that too. I will wake up, or I am awake. If someone's saying I will wake up, they probably are awake in some sense, because if you're not awakened, then you won't even be thinking that waking up is something that needs to be done. You just be thinking, oh, those people are crazy. They're hippies. They're like, you know, all the way out there in the world. So if someone is in their process of waking up and is trying to find the way that resonates with them the most to actually bring it into fruition, then I feel that seeing meditation as different forms or a meditative feeling, a meditative spirit can be more accessible than just you need to do this seated meditation, which I think like some people take very seriously. Like, have you meditated today? What if you can't just sit down? What if you can't? What if you can't just sit down and do it? What if you feel like it doesn't feel right for you, you know? So, but what you're saying about moving from theory into practice, integrating these things that you've learned all those years, for me, several months, and still learning, into the real world, into like every action, every thought, every interaction that I have with somebody, and just pausing for a moment, just having a moment, if it's just like even a millisecond of a pause to be present with that person. Like there's this one young, oh my gosh, this young guy at the store nearby. And I've gone there a few times, and two times I went just today before you came, and then like earlier in the week. And his energy, his spirit is so loving and so welcoming. And like he's wearing a mask, but you could just see his eyes when he smiles. He like really wants to connect with me. Like he will like follow me around the store, low key, not like, you know, but like not creepy, but like he'll follow me around the store and just like wants to connect and wants to be there. And I just, when I experience that from somebody, my heart, it feels like it's breaking a little bit, or maybe it's opening. There's something happening and I feel like I want to cry immediately when I experience that, because it's so rare in our societies to have that pure loving connection with somebody, especially someone you don't know, especially someone you can't even freaking see because they have their mask on, you know? So it's those moments that remind me that it is worth it to be present in those every moment, even especially with myself, just be present. Even though I see myself day in and day out, I know myself so well, it's still worth it because as you said, and also like alluded to, when you're trying to be more loving in the world, you are the practice. You are like that, you know, rehearsal before you get out into the world every single day or before you meet with somebody every single day to like be love.
Yes, exactly. But I want to get back into something because this is something that we need to talk about because you got a trigger on it. And that's about this loving thing of the actress. Well, you're totally, totally right. I cannot say that she doesn't love her. That's something that I'm just judging, let's say it like that. But from my perspective, and not of hers, but mine, in the sexual, like embracing our sexuality, which is important, it is also important. We are energy. From my perspective, we are all energy. But what happens when you mix your energy with another person? That's something sacred. And you can decide, like, if you meet someone to mix your energy, it's fine. It's not that it's, oh my gosh, that's something evil. No, no, no. What I'm saying is be responsible with your energy. It has happened to me. Like, I'm not talking about theory here. Yeah. It has happened to me that my level of consciousness has gone low, like way deep into the fear, just by having sexual contact with a person that was into fear. Why? Because that's how it works. You plug yourself, like it's like a USB, and you download information. So imagine plugging yourself into someone that it's super egocentric, that it has a lot of fear, that it has, you know, all these bad energies. You're not gonna get good stuff of it, you know. That's why, okay, I'm okay, and I'm into the embrace the sexual energy. It doesn't matter it's not about the woman that I was talking. Like, it could be a man and it will be the same story for me. Like, he was a porn star, I will be telling you. Like, probably he doesn't love himself. Why? Because it's a sacred energy. Everything is sexual energy. Everything. Imagine you, me, and everyone who will ever listen to this and experience this life, we came because of a sexual exchange of sexual energy. It's not like there's no other way that you could came into this reality. That powerful is that energy, that it can create another human being. And we can live all this life experience just because of that, you know? So sometimes I feel that we don't give the importance to that energy. And as a man and as a woman, when we make it, not for love, but we have sexual exchange because of desire, then the energy of our being goes to the lower chakras, which happens. And as a male, when you get everything out, you get that energy that is vital for you, you know? So that was my point. Probably it can be seen, you know, like superficial, but it's actually deep. It's love yourself in the way that the words that you are saying, it's a reflection of what you have on the inside. So be careful with the words. Be careful with your thoughts. The thoughts that you have in your mind, if they are hateful thoughts, well, you're not loving yourself. If you are mixing with a lot of people energetically, you can embrace your sexuality, but you're going to receive a lot of information from all those people, and you will have to deal with it eventually. I've been dealing with that because when I was in college and later on, I didn't care about it. I thought that it was a game. And then you realize that, well, you have to transmute that energy because you have it in yourself. And I don't know how many years you can have it, but if it's good, then amazing. You know, you will have more energy. You will feel better. But that's why it has to be made with love. That's why you will need to find someone that you feel like, okay, I'm in love with this person. Oh, amazing. That's my perspective. And then the second thing, yeah, it's practice. And then this comes together. That's part of the practice. You know, that's part of the practice of not just, okay, I desire a burger. It's fine. You can have a burger. Have it once. Have it twice. Have it as many times as you want. If the universe says you yes, who am I and who's someone to tell you that you can't? But then, eventually, well, if you don't feel well from the stomach, you will be like, oh my gosh. Well, that's the thing that you get for having too many burgers, dude. You know, so just be responsible with what you get for your actions. And that's the practice. everyday practice. So what do you, how do you feel with your trigger now?
Thank you for explaining yourself. I feel fine. Like, you know, like it's important to hear people's perspectives. I like what you said about it being like a USB, right? Like you having sexual contact with somebody and you're plugging yourself. I was thinking about like this, like my mind just goes to this 15-year-old sexual innuendo, like, oh, plugging yourself into somebody, you know, sorry. but the information that you get from a lot of people, right? How does one clear themselves of the information that they don't need? How does one actually transmute that energy? So that's one question. Hold that in your mind, in one pocket of your mind. And then also as a woman, as a man too, as anybody really, but specifically as a woman, when we talk about this creative life force energy, this sexual energy, as powerful as you helped us understand through your imagery that you painted for us. Thank you for that. It has been exploited. That energy has been exploited because yes, in order to bring life into this world, in order to create the channel that houses a soul, a human being is what I'm talking about. It takes, you know, a man and a woman. It takes, you know, two people. It's not just a woman, but the woman is the one who houses that child. Like our power is so, so, so strong. So strong. And I'm only starting to really realize that intuitively that is coming out of me. I feel like that's always been part of me, which is why I could never last in any relationship with a man that made me feel like I was supposed to be subordinate. I could never last. Maximum was 8 months and I was suffering. And they broke up with me. There was a lot of issues in that part of my life and myself then. But we move on. We grow, right? So in your experience, having relationships with women, having sexual encounters with women, and who you are now, how you see the world now, how has that changed? Like, specifically when you're looking through the lens of a man, like you're looking through the eyes of a man because you are a man, and you see a woman, and you see how women are treated and how women treat themselves, what comes to mind for you?
Okay, I'm a man. I've grown as a man in a man world. This world, it's a man world, and it needs to change. This world, and probably what I think that will happen, because we are extreme, we live in extremes, I think that eventually we will live in a woman world, which is also not good. We will need balance in this life. So it's not a fight against woman versus man, and man versus woman, which sometimes feels like it is, you know? It's then again trying to find the balance and trying to have the more powerful things of both of us, because there's the sun, there's the moon, there's the night, there's the day, masculine energy, feminine energy. And as you were saying, it's not the man, the one that carries 9 months, the human being inside. It's the woman. The woman are the portal into this 3D matrix. Super powerful. So as a man, for me, it has been a change from looking at woman like through sexual eyes, you know, like how much I like them or how much I don't, you know, or stuff like that. Now I put effort into it, you know, into not look woman, because everywhere, this is so, it looks like if it was a plan. Everywhere you see woman as if women were made objects or something, you know, like showing their tits. And it's like, what the hell, dude? Like, this is putting men always into that state of, yeah, I can abuse of them. They only serve as sexual partners. They are only a thing, you know? But, okay, if you want to change that, you need to change education. It's not putting higher things into prison and killing people because they've been acting like that. That won't fix the stuff. What will fix it is fixing this masculine energy, teaching the power of the woman, you know? So for me, as we were saying, it's being with woman, like having sexual exchange energy and stuff like that, like normal. And then I realized that it was not the way. I feel bad. I feel empty when I mix my energy like that. And it's been a path like from that to started looking, you know, like a woman, not only because of that, like today, tonight, we're talking, you know, mm-hmm. And it's a really cool chat, and we're exchanging energy right now. It's happening, you know? So it's hard to change from a macho way of thinking in Mexico, which I don't know in other countries, but here in Mexico, we have that macho thing, way of thinking, you know? And I don't know the perspective about the woman, but if you are a woman and you're listening to this, you gotta know that you are super powerful. And what I really believe, something that I really believe, is that this world will be way better if it was ruled by women, which is, then again, if we go to that extreme, but it will be way, way better. Like, feminine energy, it's more, for what I've seen, it's more like kind of soft, you know? That's why you are the ones, from my perspective, that grow the children, not the men. Feminine energy, it's more lover, nurturing, you know? It's Mother Earth, not Father Earth. So that's how you feel it in your mother. You feel it in the feminine, in the woman, you know? The nature also, it's like that. It's giving. It's giving us everything for free, basically. So I'm thinking that slowly we are going back to that balance. How has been your change as a woman in this masculine, you know, world? Like, how do you feel? Do you feel like you have been oppressed? Do you feel like you have been like a quiet, like they want you to shut up? They would, like, how is it? Like, how do you feel?
Yeah, I definitely feel like I've been oppressed. I feel like I've been silenced, subdued. And it's really hard for me, my personality, my stature even, like, to actually be silenced and subdued and to play small, because it's not in my nature to I always have something to say. There's always a way that I can speak up somehow. But coming from the Nigerian culture, women, I mean, it's in many cultures, but I'm speaking from Nigerian culture, like, just growing up, some experiences going to Nigeria and what I was expected to say or do or wear or not expected to do based on me being a woman, it has never, ever made sense to me. It really never made sense to me. In fact, when I was younger, when I was playing basketball in middle school and high school, I would always think to myself, like, so my story is that I was, like, in the fashion industry for a bit before I went into education. Now I'm just, like, kind of moving around my interests and stuff like that. Before I got into fashion, though, I was playing basketball. Not, like, it wasn't serious, but in my head, I thought, if I'm going to be a basketball player, I'll definitely be in the NBA. There's a WNBA. There's a Women's National Basketball Association. Never even crossed my mind. It was always, I wanted to be in the NBA because that's where it is. That's what people care about. That's what people focus on. People don't focus on the women. So, like, I always personally felt that I should be where people focus on. So I think that's probably speaking to, like, the masculine energy that's within me naturally anyway. But it didn't stop what people see when they look at me, obviously. You don't see a man, you see a woman. And so if you're, like, taught and indoctrinated to treat women in a certain way, then that's going to apply to me too. And so that one relationship that I was talking about that lasted 8 months, it was the longest relationship, and it's often one that I mention because it was so meaningful in my own personal, like, evolution in terms of relationships with other people, with men specifically. And there was a lot of, like, objectification going on there. And I didn't recognize it. There are times where I was like, no, this can't happen. Like, you cannot touch me like that in public. You cannot touch me like that at all. You just cannot be that way with me. But then there's this kind of rhetoric of, you're my girlfriend. You should do that. I would be expected to perform in certain ways because I was this person's girlfriend. And I would accept it because I thought that's what I needed to do. And who were my influences around me? Who are my female influences around me telling me, no, you don't accept that. You have your own power. You are your own person. You're not this person. That's not your identity. You're not this person's girlfriend. You are your own person. So it's taken a long time. That's like, I was 22 then, 27, what, 5 years, almost 6 years, that I'm now just coming to really embody that. Not just realize it, because I've realized it a couple of years ago, but actually embody it, that I am my own human being and I make choices for my life, you know? Like, it's not someone else who's going to make a choice for me about me and my body and my experience in this life. And if I want to share that with you, then it's my choice to share that with you. And then if I decide to open that, you get to choose whether you want to enter or share it with me from that point on. But you don't just say, oh, you have to do this because you're my woman, and that's what, you know, it doesn't work like that anymore. So when it even comes down to the topic of expressing and exploring our sexuality, as these powerful beings, these powerful sexual beings, we're talking about feminine energy, which, of course, as we know, doesn't just exist in women. We're talking about like feminine energy of the world being ruled by women. We're really talking about the world being shifting more to like a feminine energy. Everyone is going to have that inside of them. But that has to do with joy, spontaneity, intuition, play, like all of these things that we kind of put to the back burner or we save for an opportune moment. Like, I finished all my productive work and now I can go and play. Now I can go and experience joy. Oh, Saturday, Sunday. Now I can go experience joy. But how, as a woman with a potent sexual energy, can I experience joy in my everyday? That doesn't mean that it has to do with actual sexual acts, but can I use that specific sexual energy to experience joy and pleasure and love and abundance and all these things that we've been talking about? And they sound very abstract, and I know they are, but everyone, I think, intuitively knows what that means for them. If you think about the most powerful energy that you have inside you, and if you could direct that energy to a specific place that's going to kind of circulate in itself, like you have the energy, you're going to put it out there in a way that it's going to fuel you to create more of that energy that you're going to put out that's going to fuel you. What would that thing be? Like, how would you do that? What would it be? Would it be going to work? I mean, unless it's the work that you love, would it be going to the office to be putting that? Probably not. People probably wouldn't do that, you know? Like, for me, probably be writing, dancing, you know, like all the things that I mentioned before that people already know at this point. Because those are the things that are creative, that make me feel the kind of joy and love and pleasure that I think the world is lacking so much.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the point about everything is sexual energy. So when you write, you're using this sexual energy. You're creating. So that's why art and the artist are so connected with this energy, also masculine and also feminine, because they are creating. That's why it feels so good to create, guys. If you play Minecraft, for example, mm-hmm. or you play something like that, or if you have ever danced, or if you have ever written or sing or something, that's the expression, the manifestation of this sexual energy. Sometimes we have so much energy, and it's hard for me. I've been meditating, but I've been trying to. Mm-hmm. Like, I never meditate more than 1 minute, 3 minutes, you know,
yeah,
that's
for the energy.
And then I'm like 20 minutes there, you know, just trying to, but then I'm like 3 minutes in, and then I'm like, that's it, that's enough, you know, and I cannot continue. But that's the practice, you know. So it's a practice. It's like, okay, I need to practice this in order to become better. Why? Because that's how we control our mind. That's us telling our mind, you are not controlling me. I'm going to shut down you, and then I'm going to expand my consciousness in order to clean my energy. That's part of the cleaning energy, because we have so many thoughts coming, emotions, and all of that attaches to this 3D. So taking that out consciously, saying, I'm going to take that out. You sit yourself, you focus on your breathing. And by doing that, you are kind of, if it was aging, like mental cleanse, you know, you're cleaning everything. And I don't know, like, because I haven't done that, but I'm pretty sure if we continue meditating, we can access to another realm, like realities. Like if you were into DMT, ayahuasca or something like that, you know, so there are some monks that they get into those levels, even different dimensions, just by meditating. So there's a power in there. Imagine that we created this world and we said, okay, so I'm going to create all this reality. I'm going to be like nature, and how I will eat. Okay, I'm going to produce fruits and stuff. Okay, that it will look beautiful and sweet. So I will remember that that's the thing that I want to eat, you know? So I will create all of that. But how will I plug myself with all this energy, with myself? Like, how will I reconnect? Imagine you are a cell phone, kind of a cell phone, and you sit yourself straight and you close your eyes and then you calm yourself, and that's like, boom, plugged, you know? That's how you reconnect. That's kind of one of the ways, you know, which is efficient way. But it's hard because we are used to, you know, being like that. Another way of cleaning our energy is with the violet light. So you visualize yourself while you're meditating in this violet color, kind of purple color. And that's the color of the cleanse. So that will be something.
you're talking about cleansing your energy, and it really got me thinking about somatics, like the way that our body, because we've been talking like very much, and I think this is just our inclination to speak like as though the human experience is not something that is crucial to our journey, our like our soul journey. It is crucial. That's why we're here. We wouldn't be here unless being humans was crucial, like integral to our soul journey. I'm saying that with such conviction because I have to remind myself during those frequent moments that I'm just like, what is all of this? Like, I don't get it. I don't get these people. I don't get this, the care that everyone has that people think I should have and want me to have and I just don't have. I don't get it. So it makes me think I don't belong here, right? And maybe that's true, but also I'm here. So why am I here if I don't belong? It was a mistake. You know what I mean? It wasn't a mistake. I chose to come here. I chose to be who I am and have this experience. And so for me to awaken is like a breath of fresh air. It's like you just came up from underwater like, ah, my God. So now I can actually start. I actually said to myself a lot of times that my life started at 27. I said it like when I first started experiencing this awakening, I was doing this chakra challenge that I've talked about in season one. And we had this mirror exercise. We're looking in the mirror and Laura, who's the founder of the wellness program that I was doing, she was guiding us to look at ourselves and talk to ourselves and tell us things. And I was like looking in my eyes and thinking to myself, like, my life is really starting right now. 27. That's old. That's like, you know, but I really felt that. And I really do feel like I'm a completely different person than I was. Interestingly, though, when I look back at all these like journals and stuff that I have, when I look back at what I've written to myself, it is like this major consistency across the board. Like, I've always been this person. Like, I was speaking from my intuition, although how I was acting on the outside was different. So I think I've always, you know, I know who I am. But now there's more of an alignment between who I am internally and who I'm presenting myself to be externally, which makes sense with all the synchronicities I see on the daily, nonstop, right? There's an alignment happening. Even meeting you and having this conversation is a major alignment. That's not by accident. We didn't meet each other by accident. Very purposeful. So anyway, it's important that we're here in this human body. So when we talk about cleansing our energy, for me, lately, I'm thinking about, and I think, you know, with my own life experimentation, this might shift and change and I'll find new ways to do this. But my energy cleansing has been like emotional release, right? Through my eyes, through my hips, where we hold a lot of emotions, through all types of parts of my body, like places where I feel tense, like my body tenses up. What is that telling me about myself? So meditation is extremely important too, because I know that there are some things that are going across in my mind that just like almost like flies, like, what are you doing here? You don't belong here. You're not actually here to show me something. You're just here taking up space, and I can actually will you out of my consciousness, will you out of my mind. But there are things that stay. And for those things that stay, what are you trying to show me? And how do I somaticize that, as in like bring it into my body and move it out? But that's my method. That's like another method. What a conversation. This has been the longest conversation that I've had with anybody on Wellspring Words, the podcast. And I hope you guys enjoyed listening to it. It's been such a pleasure. Like, I have gotten so much nourishment from this conversation, Miguel. So thank you from the depths of my soul. And it doesn't even feel like dramatic to say that, because you get it, you know, for being part of this and for like wanting to do this and like making time to come and have this conversation with me.
Well, thank you. Thank God for allowing us, in the God that everyone wants to believe, or, you know, this energy universe, to be here speaking, you know. And obviously this wasn't a coincidence. This is synchronicity, you know. It happened for a reason. We follow our intuition. And then probably if this comes out or doesn't, well, we had the experience right here. And if this comes out and someone gets touched by it and it changes and it helps you, well, better, you know. But thank you for having me today in your podcast.
So cool. So if you want to be found, I always ask, if you want to be found on the internet or anywhere, where can people find you?
Okay, well, you can find me in Instagram as Mike de la Selva. You can look for it. It's there's two guys, you know, so you just get into the one that has a lot of nature. That will be the one.
Awesome. Yeah, and I'll link that. like in the show notes so people can find you directly. That's it. Thank you guys for listening. As always, you can find us at Wellspring Words on Instagram. You can find me, now I'm putting my personal business out there because why not? Naturally Free 123. And you can send us an email, bewell@wellspringwords.love. Check out our online publication, wellspringwords.love. And comment, rate, subscribe, all of the things, share with people. Catch you in the next episode. Bye.